I promise if you start showing up as the person that you need to be 2 years from now and you do it today, everything in your life will change. Money is the consequence of doing what you love well. And you've got to keep that paramount as far as your perspective.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Next Level University, where we teach you how to level up in your life, your love, your health, and your wealth.
No matter where you are now or where you've been, there is a next level. We bring you 5 episodes a week, 4 of which are solo episodes with Kevin and I, and 1 world-class guest to help you get there.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by our friend and mentor, David Meltzer of the Playbook Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another very special, as always, Next Level Meetup Monday.
Oh, yeah.
This used to be our Next Level Mastermind. This is our first guest for the Meetup Monday, the one and only Nick Cavuto. So we were in, or we were on a summit, and we did like a speaker hot seat, and we saw Nick extremely heart-driven, but so very knowledgeable. And that's really what pulled us to him. We reached out to him. We ended up having him on the show, and now we're blessed enough to call him a mentor of ours. So we wanted to share him with you guys. He's got so much knowledge, such a good dude, an entrepreneur's entrepreneur, very successful, but like we said, heart-driven.
So when we thought about this, we were talking to Nick back and forth a little bit, and basically what you need to know as an early entrepreneur. Many of our listeners are either future entrepreneurs or current entrepreneurs, so this is going to be fire. Nick, you have to 6:40 on the dot, so that's 37 minutes from this moment. Take it away, man.
Awesome. Well, first of all, thank you guys. Appreciate it a ton. You guys are legends. I love you both to death. You know, I was on the search for people who were like-minded, and I found 2 brothers. So that's always a cool thing when that happens. Just people who I highly respect, and also just feel led to collaborate with you guys in creating more momentum for people who truly want to give and be of contribution to the world. So that's why I'm here, just so that everybody is aware. I lead with the heart, like it's been mentioned. But truly, I believe that relationships are rocket ships, and the people that you get yourself around are the people who are going to help you really go to the next level in life and in business as well. Everything in business comes down to 2 things. And I'm going to open this up for Q&A in a little bit, because that's the way that I drive. So probably half the time we'll talk a little bit and then we'll drive. Business, it revolves around 2 things. At some level, every single business becomes math and spiritual. If you're an entrepreneur. And the reason why is because when you start scaling to a certain point inside of your business, or you start growing to a certain point within your business, for those of you who are 0 to 5K or 0 to 10K a month, getting beyond 10K a month requires a completely different version of you than where you started. And in mentoring hundreds of entrepreneurs, the number one thing that I see that's missing is belief, which is where the spiritual part comes in, by the way. Entrepreneurship is the ultimate ascension of oneself. And I'll take some amens. You could throw a shoe at me, whatever you got to do. Like, here's the bottom line. There is no reason to go through the trauma, pain, frustration, daily challenges of an entrepreneur unless you have a really big reason why. You got to have a compelling vision. You've got to have a chip on your shoulder and something to prove. Because a lot of times that's what originally gets us motivated. You know, most people in business just don't start. The 2 keys to winning, by the way, are just starting and finishing. Like, that's it. Most people don't start. That's 85%. The ones who do, normally they don't finish because they lack belief. They act in fear. They doubt themselves. They don't trust their intuition. And eventually they give up. So entrepreneurship is a game of not giving up. And that's what I want to compel you guys here with today. You know, everyone's looking for the secret strategy, the thing. I'll tell you that for 7 years, I was a pastor. For 7 years, I grew a church from 1,000 to 10,000 people in 5 years. That was a lot of fun, but people became a commodity to the organization. And that's when I chose to make an exit, because my heart was for people, but the organization made it about process. And to me, that was of the highest level of injustice. So you're going to hear a lot of conversation today around spiritual acumen, but also around like solid business principles that I think will help each and every one of us ascend to a higher level. After that, I went into the startup community, And I just started blowing up businesses in a really positive way. Why? Because I had two things. Competence. I was really good at what I did and I knew I was good at it. And confidence. I knew my strength came from somewhere outside of myself. And thankfully, that's just the way that I was raised. But my belief system was that there are no limitations. I didn't believe that money was real from the get. I felt like money was the consequence of doing what you love well. There are no hacks. There are no secrets. Just like in weight loss. Do you guys know how big like weight loss and or transformation for health? Do you know how big of an industry that is?
Mm.
$1 trillion. $1 trillion industry. That's 1/40th of our entire GDP as a country. And you know what the formula, the secret formula is? Eat well and exercise. Right? It's not that complicated. So when you look at business, it functions the same way. Focus on the fundamentals. That's what got Gretzky where he was. That's what got Michael Jordan where he was. That's what's gotten Elon to where he is. Audacious vision, the belief that anything is possible, and focusing on the fundamentals. Everything for Elon comes back to basic science. So I want to compel you guys with this understanding. I was in my mid-20s. Exit ministry, went and blew up a company from $20 to $25 million in 9 months. Realized I had competence and confidence. Went into Fortune 500, was there for 11 months. I managed $1 billion worth of products for a Fortune 500 company at 26 or 27 years old. Belief. I already knew the job was mine before I even had the interview. So I showed up that way. Once that was completed, then I went to Boston. I worked with a bunch of VC firms like Nest, if you guys are familiar with that company. Did all their paid advertising strategies. Basically, upon the exit, we had done over $40 million in revenue in 3 years. And I got my degree halfway through that 3-year period. I forgot to tell you that I failed out of college twice. That I struggled with understanding what my calling was and what contribution that I was going to make into the world. But you know, the funny thing happened when I failed the educational system. I realized that I only had one option, and that was to serve. Not to sell, but to serve, to just show up and serve, to be a part of something that was greater and bigger. And that strategy saved my life in a lot of ways and certainly gave me an amazing future. So within 3 years of exiting ministry, making $45,000 a year, I was a millionaire. How did that happen? Pretty crazy, right? Money is the consequence of doing what you love well. And you've got to keep that paramount as far as your perspective. Started an agency, we went to 0 to 85 clients in 18 months. Went gangbusters. I ended up separating from the partner. We took our favorite clients. We went our separate ways. COVID hit and I lost over $500,000 in 2 days. I had one business that was a coaching program that was predicated on live events. And I had an agency that worked with elective practitioners. Funny, just both of those industries basically sank to zero for 90 days. And the live events industry is certainly still not even rebounded, not even close. So I had a decision to make. You know, my kids, I have 3 kids. I'm 33 years old, but I have 3 kids and a 4th on the way. I had a decision like, am I going to have to pull them out of like, you know, their private school? Like, am I going to have to sell my house, right? Like funny things happen. What do you guys think I did? I served. I started a mastermind community in my neighborhood and said, hey, if there's any other entrepreneurs here who are struggling to find the next step for themselves or just want to talk about different strategies now that COVID's hit, let's do Zoom calls for the next 6 weeks. I met my mentor. I met amazing people. I ended up basically getting a ton of different contracts from just these 9 guys who joined the group. And that basically carried me through the end of the year. And then I started a company called tenurebrands.com. And its focus on unmuting entrepreneurs. See, the tragedy that I see is there's so many people out there, so many entrepreneurs that are phenomenal at what they do. They just don't know how to tell the world about it. They were never given the opportunity to be on a stage. I know what that's like. I hosted over 1,000 live events when I was in ministry. I never spoke on a stage one time. I know what it's like to feel muted, like you don't have permission to go out there and give your greatest contribution to the world. I know what that's like. And so that's why I'm on a mission to really help the greatest entrepreneurs, the most undiscovered, unknown, unassuming entrepreneurs, leverage their unfair advantage by unmuting themselves and allowing their message to reach the world. The formula for business is very simple. Solve a problem for a profit and make sure that you are paid what you are worth. more and more entrepreneurs that I talk to allow their audience, their avatar, set the pricing for their business. When I started 10-year brands at the end of December, I hired one guy and said, do you want to go on this journey with me? He said, yes. I'm in. I was like, sweet. I've known him for a decade. I was hoping that he'd say yes, because if he didn't, I'd be screwed. But he said yes. We launched that brand the first week in January, and we have 45 clients, and we have a recurring revenue stream of over $500,000, and we did it in 45 days. Remember I said money is not real? It's a transfer of energy and trust. Sometimes, and some of you may be in a situation right now of where you are feeling so stuck in transition. You're trapped in transition right now between where you are and where you want to be, and you're uncertain around what the future looks like. Transition is a skill. Change is an event. You know, like when I lost my entire, both of my businesses in 2 days after running, I mean, we were doing $70,000 a month in profit for my agency. All of that disappeared. When that happened, I felt stuck. I felt trapped. I felt unsure. But I knew what my North Star was, which was generosity. It was to give. It was to be of contribution, to be of service. And that's where everything starts shifting for me. And I want to challenge you to do the same thing. Stop selling and start serving. And watch your bank account quadruple. People's bullshit meter is at an all-time high. Intrinsically, we hate being sold to. So we have to find ways to be of service, to be of contribution, to show up, to help, to be of true relationship building and heart-centered service. And it's amazing, again, what happens inside of your life and your business. More fulfillment in every area of your life. Everything in life has a commission. It's not just a sale. It's the relationships that you have, the people that you mentor, the time that you spend with others. And we need to get a little bit more clear around the thinking, the big idea around what is it that we really want? What is success? Success in business is aim and achievement. I want to do that. Now I'm going to go do it. Then you accomplish the task. But I think a lot of us in early stages of entrepreneurship, we're looking for success without safety. Come on now. Oh, I know that's going to punch somebody right in the gut. Safety is the ability to see around the corner. Safety is not just financial stability. Safety also ties into this broader spectrum of knowing what's next. And that's what so many of us want. And with COVID, it's part of what was stolen away from us. And so this allows us to rethink the pattern. So moving into the next step for you guys, and this is where I'm going to start opening up for Q&A. Business formulas and processes are really simple. If you have a new big idea, ask people to buy your shit. Okay? It's really simple. Hey, I think this would be great for you. Here's a founder's price. I'd love for you to be a part of it. I'd love for you to support me in this. And you'll be amazed at how many people buy your stuff. Ask. What's the difference between having a service that's $1,000 a month versus $2,500 a month? Ask. From the good book, at least from when I was raised as a kid, you have not because you ask not. And if we're really, again, audacious about our vision, our mission, the things that we truly want to accomplish. My wife's father was murdered when she was 3. I need $50 million in order to open up a foundation for her father that's going to serve kids and single moms who have lost someone that they love and kids without a father. That's what I'm compelled by. That's why I'm here. And that's why my ass won't be broke. Because there's someone else on the opposite side. The human condition is always to do more for others than people as a function will always do more for others than they will for themselves. And all the moms in the rooms are like, right? So that's what we need to focus on is truly, how are we going to be of contribution? How are we going to be of service? Number one. Number two, what's your unfair advantage? People don't buy your product and service. They buy you. Your energy, your story, and your magic. So what is your unfair advantage? What is your story? What is your energy? Do you drive people to a higher level, or do you drain people? And what's your magic is really like, what were you born with that you just do better than 99% of people that you know? The big idea around an audit of your life, Socrates said, a life that is unexamined is one that is not worth living. And I know the whole entrepreneur epidemic of the head in the sand happens a lot. You know, we're just trying our best. I get it, guys. Trust me. We're all trying our best to do what we know to do. But a lot of times we lose focus of the bigger picture and we go heads down, just grind it out, push, 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 go, go, go. You need to take a vacation and get more clear on how you're going to make a bigger difference in the world. I've pulled over 500 entrepreneurs and asked them a simple question on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being broke, homeless, and you don't have connection with your family or your kids, and 10 being a billionaire. Where do you find yourself on that scale? Not even kidding, over 90% say between 3 and 4. Suggesting that they're more comfortable being homeless without connection to their family, that's more of a reality than having $1 billion in the bank. And they're questioning, why do I not have the business that I want? It's belief. It's belief. I promise if you start showing up as the person that you need to be 2 years from now and you do it today, everything in your life will change. And I can tell which ones of you are going to be massively successful versus the ones that will struggle based on your calendar alone, where you're spending your time. So on a grandiose thesis of life and business, we've done over $60 million in revenue for other people. We've generated over 500,000 leads. I've helped people get over 1.5 billion views online. There's nothing that you can ask today that's not going to be a transparent, honest conversation around how I got there. But the reality is like, I'm here to serve. So I want to compel you first. I want to energize you first. I want you to see the bigger picture. I want you guys, each and every one of you, to understand the simple fact. Anything that you want is 100% available to you today. Anything that you want. You live on an acre of diamonds. I don't know if any of you have heard that story. The guy was a coal miner for 40 years and basically, you know, worked in the coal mines, digging out diamonds for other people. And then some guy comes to his house and goes, man, you got a lot of these things out front. And he's like, oh yeah, they've been bugging me for years. He's like, have you actually looked to see what those are? And he's like, nah, they're just littered all over my lawn. He was literally living on a diamond mine. And here he was going to work every single day, slugging it out in this dangerous environment. And he was literally, his house, his property was a diamond mine. He just didn't look to see what those big rocks were. So I'm here to compel you, to encourage you, but also to help fast track some of you in a better and quicker direction when it comes to the number one challenge that you're facing in your life or in your business right now. Those who are willing to be honest and very transparent will succeed at the highest level. So don't throw me softballs. Like, let's have the conversations that you need to have so that you can win.
Can I ask the first question?
Please.
Nick, how do you know? So you look at somebody's calendar. What are you looking for?
That was my question too.
I stole Fire. It.
I'm looking for how long their meetings are and who they're with. I have a simple philosophy and process around my decision-making as a CEO, founder, whatever. I don't even care about that crap. But the way, if I'm responsible to lead an organization, my nucleus is my team and my family. My audience is kind of the outer ring of the dartboard, if you will. And my clients are in the middle. So when I'm looking at like, where are you spending time? It's very easy for me to look at it and go like, how much time are you spending on your dream? Because if your time is just filled up with what everyone else wants you to do and all of your other obligations for family and all that stuff, and you're not focusing on like developing new relationships with people who will help you get to where you want to go, do you have mentoring and do you have coaching and are those things a part of your world? Are you slugging it out in client work 24/7? Are you investing in other people? Are you being a person of contribution and connection and of service? You know, like the calendar exposes the intent. That's the jam. So when the calendar suggests, you know, for me, it's not profitable for me to have 30-minute conversations with random entrepreneurs to help them. Because most who are asking the question can't afford the service, right? So the idea is that like, that's not profitable, because if I'm spending that time as a CEO, it's more profitable. Does that make sense? But for me, it's the right thing. So a life of intent that aligns me, allows me to show up in the world more powerfully, allows me to show up for my kids in a better way, allows me to have, you know, a greater connection with my wife. Why? Because I'm in alignment.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever been afraid to tell your friends or your family what you really wanted out of life? It's clear that you want to get to the next level. Join our private Facebook group.
In that private Facebook group, you're going to get around a growth-minded, like-minded community who all have goals and dreams. That way you won't feel alone. You can be vulnerable. You can be understood. And again, there's nothing more important than getting on a winning team.
To join Next Level Nation, just click the link in the show notes.
So if I went through and audited all the things that you're doing, and I asked you a few questions around energy level when you do them, if I ask questions around, you know, is this something that you love doing and you're the effing best at, or is this shit that you hate doing for people who don't give an F, then we can have a very clean assessment on like why your life is the way it is. So I dare all of you to clear your calendar in your mind and build with intent as the version of you 2 years from now and tell me how much that shifts your business.
Wow. Wow. This has been absolute fire, Nick. Thank you so much. Anyone is open to ask a question. You can put it in the chat. There's three ways. You can put it in the chat anonymously and Amy will ask it to Nick. You can unmute and ask Nick directly, or you can put it in the chat non-anonymously.
I like that.
And that also works.
Perfect. Love it.
Any other questions? And if not, I can hammer mine.
Yeah, there's okay. A question.
Excellent.
What do you believe is the smallest fundamental quality in people of business that is drastically overlooked and underestimated?
Fire. Integrity. Yep. A very close second would be empathy. You can't build a truly transformational product or service without empathy. You have to put yourself in the shoes of the other person who's leveraging your product. You know, so that's why I created a business at tenurebrands.com. Like the reason why I created that business was because I needed to solve it for myself first. And then when I understood what it felt like to feel like I have this overflowing blah, right, that I want to give to the world, but I had no outlet for it, I had to solve it. I know the demographic. I know the person because it's me. It's just a previous version of me. And in the same way, every single person who's listening to this right now, who's a coach, consultant, or an expert, you are trying to clear your past by solving a problem in the present that you had in the past. You're repairing your own road. And that's why you're so passionate about what you do, is because you're just giving yourself a big hug from 5 years ago saying, it's going to be okay. This too shall pass, and helping people along the journey. It's a Sherpa. You're going up and down the mountain that you've already traveled a million times.
I want to follow up with a deeper part of that question, because that was a fire answer. And I think I know who asked that question, by the way. Strong work. How do you know your answer was integrity? Okay. What was overlooked and underestimated? Integrity came right away. How do you know when someone has integrity?
That's a good question, man. I think for me, it comes down to intuition. Just like I said, people are inherently sick of being sold to. I think in the same regard, like people have a pretty good test case on like if someone is being truly authentic, real and raw, whatever. I always say like real and raw is better than authentic. So for me to understand if someone's truly living in integrity, there's no skeletons in their closet. So I can assess the type of content that they create, what I'm consuming, be it that's kind of like the funnel into your intuition, is whatever that person's producing, I can very easily ask myself if they're projecting or if they're being real. And that's the level of velocity to their vulnerability. I share with you guys a pretty intimate story. I don't tell most people that my wife's father was killed. I don't talk about that often. I've told these guys, I've told a handful of other people. That's not something I just produce every single day. But that is something that's very true and dear to my heart that I felt like was important for you guys to understand in quick context. So the billion views that we got and we've helped other people generate, the first step is vulnerable stories. That's why I say integrity is your ability to open the closet and say, here it all is. I had my card declined 2.5 years ago at a diner, and my buddy who was a photographer had to pay for my bill after running a business that was generating $70,000 a month in profit. That sucks. But that also gives me access and permission to have any conversation. I could be in the room with somebody who's broke or a billionaire and have full access and full width of conversation with either of them. That's part of probably my unfair advantage. But I think integrity always comes down to really it's a combination of intent, humility, honesty, and transparency, which I think the bottom line of those things formulate into empathy, which is truly like just being who you are. The reason why I say real and raw is better than authentic is because another way to look at it is like scars are cool, right? Like somebody's like, look at the badass scar. I was in whatever. That's cool. Gushing wounds are disgusting. So I'll be talking about your divorce that you're going through and talking to your audience about that. Like that's not going to help. After and you're healed, scar, it's something that becomes a part of who you are that will attract someone who's gone through the same thing. And now they buy your, you know, coaching program. That has nothing to do with the fact that you were divorced, but to them has everything to do with it because you understand them. So integrity to me is living in accordance to the highest calling that you have. Mm. And also being willing to have hard conversations with your audience that your grandma would probably not approve of.
Wow.
Nick, you were talking about the calendar and something. Amy, is there a question?
Yeah.
Hammer it.
Okay. How do you reach the audience where your service or your message will have the greatest impact?
How? Yeah. How is the wrong question? I think you need to reverse your thought process to who. I'll say it this way. The how is like the desert, okay? Some people think how is beautiful. Some people think it's barren. It just depends on how you see the world, okay? So the how is very mechanical. It's like a car. How do I fix this part of my car? You swap it in, swap it out. That's not how you grow a flower. The flower is a formula and it's water and sunshine, right? So in the same way, like if you're asking how, it's a mechanical question of strategy. I need you to go backwards because the strategy lacks empathy. So first you got to go to like, who am I trying to serve? Whose life can I impact today? I've spoken in front of one person. I've spoken in front of 15,000 people at one time. To me, I don't care. All I care about is the one person at the back of the room who is hopeless and potentially suicidal tomorrow. That's the only person that I care about reaching. I don't care about the fans in the front and all that shit. That doesn't matter to me. I care about the one person in the back. So in the same regard, like that's the who, and that's where I start. Then I go like, what do they need to hear? What way can I give to them? And what way can I be of greater contribution and service? The how solves itself. Here's your how. Follow the cloud. So go to the here's the deal. Again, if this person is a coach, consultant, whatever, and they're thinking, how do I get greater connection with the audience that I want to serve? First, you need to go back in your own story and figure out what your biggest fractures were in business and in life. And go publish that content to the level of vulnerability that you're willing to go. I understand that some people have really unique stories. I'm not asking you to like do something that's so unbelievably out there, but I am asking you to be honest and let them come to you. See, the difference is the how model is the megaphone. I want you to become a magnet. And the way that you do that is by producing content that is going to allow people to be drawn into you based on what you're projecting out into the world, what you're suggesting into the world. So that's the deal. Be a magnet, not a megaphone.
Fire. So Nick, one thing, and I think this is a skill, and this is a skill a lot of people don't talk about, the skill of saying no. So we're talking about the calendar. What do you say to either early or seasoned entrepreneurs who they have trouble saying no with something that directly takes away from what they should be doing to move the needle and make progress?
Yeah. So Craig Ballantyne has a book. It's called like The Perfect Day or something. I don't know, something like that. It's for entrepreneurs. Very simple formula. But the big idea around it is like when you start time blocking and you start taking up space and time on your calendar with the activities that make you the most amount of money and that are things that are the highest aligned value with you, you blame your calendar. Hey, I'd really love to, but I can't because I just don't have time. The problem is people don't manage their time and they don't block their time on their calendar. So just anything and everything is allowed to come in. So like you've got to figure out, you know, most people who are starting an entrepreneurship, you kind of are like everything, right? It's like, I remember when we do church plants. It's like, we got 25 people and we got some Jesus. And, you know, that person's got to be like the freaking janitor and the kids person and, you know, like lead the message for the stage and like prep the certain, like you got to do like everything. And that's early stage entrepreneurship is the same way, where like you've got to do every single role. And I get that, but it's only for a season. And so like, if you know that you're in a season, right? Seasonalities, are you harvesting? Are you planting? Don't chase the damn birds now. Because if you're in a season where you're planting and you're throwing seed and you're trying to generate new business, new opportunities, new ideas, and someone says, well, that sucks. That's a bird trying to steal your seed. If you go chase the bird, what's going to happen? You stop planting. So like, you've got to stay on a strategic path of like throwing the seed and planting. I built my entire business with gunshots going off outside my house. I'm not kidding you. I live in the ghetto in New York. Gunshots going off outside my house. My wife was pregnant with a kid. I was in school, working full-time, working part-time, and building a business at the same time. There are no excuses. Like, I found the time, I created the time, and I made it happen. And by the way, the first client I ever had, I charged him $10,000 a month. So I didn't have to be in a position of extreme scarcity. I could focus on one client, deliver one product, and from that new revenue, start generating new big ideas. The problem that I solved for them generated $1.5 million in 12 months. I don't know about you guys, but if I had a 10X ROI where I went to casino and I put a dollar in and got $10 out, how many $1 bills do you think I'd put in there? So the idea is that like the time and the structure of the time is according to the season that you're in. The harvesting season versus the planting season are two very separate things. So it's going to be a personal assessment, but here's how I do it. From 5 to 8 a.m., it's connection, contribution, and mentoring. That's it. Like, that's how I start my day, in connection and contribution. Why? Because if I don't, like, I completely lose my balance. So I go to walk with my mentor at 5:30 every single day. Then I focus on connection and contribution to my family, to my audience, to my clients, to my team, whatever. And then from 8 until 11, I do deep work. This is all the important shit. Like, the stuff I have to do that's really important. It's the thing I love to do. It's a more creative mind. From 11 until 1, I focus on coaching. So this is where I have like free time for coaching, or where I have actual one-on-one clients and I'll coach them during that time period. And then the last step is 1 to 4. And that is focused on what I call feed the animals. This is actual work. Like, somebody's got to go do it, right? I got to go feed the animals, right? So this is the kind of stuff that's like, it's maybe urgent. There may be some things I have to do. I save that for the end of the day. And I just like plow through a list and just get it done. One of the most powerful tools you have is a checklist. So many people just have all this stuff stored in their brain. They don't write anything down. And then you have no idea what you should be accomplishing. So it's a very basic infrastructure: task, due date, and who's responsible to complete it. I don't care if it's your dog. If you need to put it on there, like put it on there, because it gets it out of your head, which allows you to think clear as an entrepreneur.
Fire. Nick, do you believe self-discipline comes naturally to you, or do you work on it consistently, especially with the feed the animals thing, the stuff that just sucks?
It does not come naturally to me at all. I'm a creative at heart. I love creating. I love being spontaneous and doing the things that are fun and exciting. I went $300,000 into debt in 2 months, 2.5 months, running a business that redlined when the agency split. And that is a lesson that I promise all of you, you don't want to learn. But that story is what focused, like, to me, debt became discipline. I never had debt in my whole life. And so the first time I had debt, I was like, what the hell is this noose? Because that's what it felt like. It was suffocating. And it forced me to, I was getting 40 creditor calls a day. And it forced me to have the discipline to answer the damn phone and to have the hard conversation. So I'm naturally very oppositional towards conflict. I love inspiring people, but conflict is like, I was raised with an emotionally explosive family. So it's kind of like stay out of the lane of fire as much as possible. So conflict is not my thing. So, you know, self-conflict is also not my thing. So I don't like to be at dysfunction or discord with myself. So it's kind of like my calling balances out the disciplines and the things that I have to do. Certainly a learned attribute, I will promise you that. And a really great mentor who held my feet to the fire.
I just want to say one thing, and then Amy, I'm sure we have questions. Nick, I think it's important for people to realize that there's a lot of neuroscience behind adults learn through massive trauma. This whole no pain, no gain is a thing. So what Nick just articulated is he has more pain associated with not being disciplined because he had to go all the way to F no. And that's why he's so focused on F yes. If you have an aversion to pain, you'll stay in that lukewarm middle ground. And I think it's really important for everyone to realize that discipline comes as a byproduct of a higher standard from past pain.
Like a poet. Super well said.
Thank you, brother.
Amy. Super well said. And entrepreneurs do enjoy pain more than pleasure. So please have some fun through this process. Okay? Remember, most people would not put up with what you put up with in the pain category of entrepreneurship. So have some fun. Amy, go ahead.
I think Lawrence wants to unmute herself and ask you a question.
Let's do it.
Please.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. So you were talking about belief and it really spoke to me. So I have a question for you. So a big part of my business as an entrepreneur in network marketing, like it relies on duplication, right? So I have a team of women who are also doing the same thing as me. And as part of my business, I'm not their boss, right? So there's a whole influence thing there, obviously. But my growth does depend on them. So mm-hmm. I see a lot of people on my team lacking belief and seeing me have a lot of belief and not understanding that what got me there was action, right? And so they're lacking belief, but they're not doing the things. And then they're not setting goals either because they're scared of disappointing themselves, right? So they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot like that. And I know that we can't give belief to another human being, but I'm wondering, do you have any tips or anything? My question is for you is like how to help create belief within themselves other than like leading by example.
Yeah, it's a great question. Intent plus belief plus action equals results. Intent plus belief plus action equals results. So on the intent part is really getting underneath the surface of why the hell they're doing it. And so the only challenge with network marketing, I love all the principles for actual, like I use those principles in organic marketing. But the thing that I don't like is you're not in control. You're not in full control. And that's a hard spot because you're kind of always dependent upon the next thing to kind of like drive the lever. So you've got to be someone of like massive influence or manipulation, which I don't believe that you are. I think you're a person of influence. So the middle ground on belief, it hinges on one thing. Most people who have a high challenge and low perceived skill in order to accomplish the task, that's what we call anxiety, right? Or uncertainty. The only way to get them to cross the threshold into belief and to increase their level of belief and to get them into a state of flow is really that next category is excitement. It's also described in the book Flow. It's also described as arousal. Like you have to pique their interest to a point, like that's more of a interesting way to say it, but that's how the book describes it, is arousal. But that's what you have to do. You have to like move the needle for them. At one point I was managing over 1,000 volunteers. Can you imagine? Like these people are not paid and they got to do more than people who are paid. What is the number one thing that motivated them was story and vision. So like you've got to be the one who's driving vision and story to keep them excited, and that's the fuel in their tank. But it's number one. Belief has to do with the process, but you can't sell belief. You have to sell hope. Hope is the fundamental aspect of excitement that they're chasing after something that's actually attainable. So, but holistically, I think I would challenge you on the MLM stuff. Not that it's not worth it. I would just say, like, Lawrence, in 2 years, where are you? And is it still doing the same thing? And if so, epic. If not, then start building your dream now. When's the best time to plant a tree, right? 20 years ago, what's the second best today? So that's the advice I'd give you.
Fire.
Absolute fire.
Nick, thank you so much, man. This was best one yet. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Thank you for asking questions.
Where can people find you, Nick?
Yeah, you can hit me up on Instagram at Nick Cavuto. My name's really funky to spell, so maybe you guys can like drop in the chat or something.
We will.
And tenurebrands.com. There's more information there around like how we unmute entrepreneurs. Essentially, our process is straightforward. In an hour of one of our clients' time a month, we can create daily content for you for less than $1,000. So if that's of any interest to anybody, feel free to check that out. And you can reach out to me through that platform. Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever. I'm kind of all over the place. That's
I have to be, you know, as part of this. So.
Nick, we have so much love for you, brother. We appreciate you so, so very much. Guys, stick around. Make sure you hang out for the after party, and we got a lot of questions for you.
Sounds good. And if you want to know how it's spelled, it's Nick Kavuoto.
Yeah, exactly.
Nick, seriously, thank you so much, man. This was absolute fire.
Anytime.
And hopefully everyone enjoyed the meetup.
Epic. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, brother.
Talk soon.
Talk soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you as always for joining us for another episode of Next Level University.
One podcast episode can change your life forever. If you got value from this episode, please share it with someone you care about deeply.
And we will talk to you on the next one.